I have two texts, and each of them is a command. The first of them occurs in the passage of our reading, which I shall expound, and the other is a complementary individual verse. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 1, the command, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thine youth." And the other command is in Proverbs 23:26, "My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe his ways, my ways." Now, we began our reading at Ecclesiastes chapter 11 and verse 9. The book of Ecclesiastes was written by Solomon. And Solomon also wrote the Proverbs, and he also wrote the book that follows, the Song of Solomon. When you read Ecclesiastes, what comes across is vanity of vanities. And what comes across in the next book of the Bible is the Song of Songs. Now, we all know that the Song of Songs means the best song, the greatest song, the truest song, the song above all songs. So the vanity of vanities must mean the worst sort of emptiness possible. The emptiness, which is what vain means here, the emptiness which makes for utter desolation in somebody's life. The absolute emptiness of life without Christ. Now, we know that Solomon had a bad spell, a very long bad spell. And in that spell, he really went mad after doing all the wrong things that nobody should ever do. And what he learned in that time was that for all the fact that all the things that look most interesting and good to do, they all wind up leaving you empty, if not ruined and desolate. And his conclusion in the book of Ecclesiastes is, try whatever you like, but none of them is going to help you one little bit in your life and in your final days. The Song of Songs tells us what does help us. And that is a love for the Lord Jesus Christ, the only Saviour from sin. So first of all, we're going to consider the command to remember our Creator in the days of our youth. And then we won't go astray like Solomon did. Great though he was, he went badly astray. He was tempted to try all the vanities. But if we remember our Creator in the days of our youth, that will help. It's not the whole story. And that's why I have the other text. My son, words also of Solomon, give me thine heart, but written on behalf of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit. Solomon, in this passage, given us by the Holy Spirit, says, go on then, I dare you to. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth. Let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth. Walk in the ways of thy heart and in the sight of thine eyes. If you've got strength, the strength of a young man, the strength to run and play and move and twist and turn, well, do it. Because things do change. I like to play cricket, but I actually can't bend. And a ball moving at any speed, I wouldn't be able to get anywhere near. But when you're young, you twist, you turn, you move. And of course you rejoice in the actual sheer strength that you've got. The sheer movement, the sheer skill. And it may be intellectual as well. You may know that you've got a good brain or a good facility for making things, mending things. And you actually rejoice and know that you've got these things and you exalt in them. Or you may fancy doing things. Walk in the ways of thine heart. You may like to travel. You may like to see the world. You may like to go all sorts of places. You might take a fancy for drink, or for drugs, or for smoking, or for girls, or for boys, depending what sex you want. He says, if you try them all, they will all, every one of them, without God, they'll prove to be absolutely empty. They'll leave you saying when you're 30, when you're 40, when you're 50, when you're 60, when you're 70, when you're 80, what have I done with my life? What have I accomplished? What have I done? It says, rejoice, O young man, in thy youth. Go on and do it. Do as everybody else does. Say how strong I am, how good I am, how clever I am, how brave I am. Do all these things. Walk in the ways of thine heart. Do what you want. Walk in the sight of thine eyes. And our generation encourages children to do that. Give them their head. And he says, but know that, no, before you start, that for all these things God will bring you into judgment. Do the lot of them. Do the lot of them as a son of Adam. And how does God look at you? He looked at Adam as a rebel. He looked at Adam as somebody to whom he gave one commandment, don't touch the fruit of that tree. And what did he do? What did his wife do? The one thing he said don't do, he did do. And therefore, in our ordinary human nature, God looks at us with all our strength, with all our ability, with all our wisdom, with all our skill. He looks at us as disobedient. We will do these things in contradiction to his command, with all our strength that he's given us, unless we submit and acknowledge that we are sinners and that we need to be saved. It doesn't matter how much fun, how much power, how much whatever we do, he will bring us into judgment for these things. For if we won't have hurt people, we'll have been proud. We'll have been envious of others. Or whatever it is, we will have gone wrong. Childhood, he says, and youth are vanity. Now, there is a proper place for childhood to learn about the Lord Jesus Christ and to learn how to live life in accordance with the providings of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a proper thing for youth to do. And that is to learn how to do all the things that you do subject to the Lord Jesus Christ. I can't help thinking of this theme without thinking of my godless headmaster. He believed that childhood and youth were vanity. And he certainly used to say to us sixth formers, and I have a feeling he said it to us when we were in year 8 and 9. He said, well, your parents go out to work 8 hours every day. You should be working 8 hours a day. You only do 5 hours at school, 3 hours homework from all of you every night. Otherwise, you're wasting your childhood, you're wasting your young manhood. He had a real vision about it, but he wasn't a believer. He wasn't a Christian. He was only talking about the natural way of doing things. And so here we have the command, if we're to get it right, if we're not to go astray, if we are not to discover how empty life is, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. First of all, then, we are commanded to remember God as our Creator, and while we're about it, also as the God of providence who provides everything for us, even down to our gifts and where we live. So remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. And what follows, which you may not have understood when we read it, but I'll go through it with you, is a brilliant bit of writing inspired by the Holy Spirit to make anyone shudder at the prospect of growing old without Christ. He's saying, now remember God, and remember God the Son, and remember while you're young and get everything else right, before the evil days come, before the sort of days come when you're going to say, they don't give me any pleasure at all. So here we have it. What days will give us no pleasure at all? While the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened. So he says, now, okay, while it's still young, while I'm still young, while it means something to be alive, while it's nice to enjoy the weather, while I can sleep and while I can do it, while the sun is not darkened, while the light is there, while the moon, I can enjoy a moonlit night and the stars. When you've got these lovely days, it's expressed a bit backward from our point of view, but it's done deliberately, nor the clouds return after the rain. It's pelted with rain. Ah, you think the clouds are broken, we're going to have a lovely day now. Here come the blue skies, and next moment the clouds have all come again. See? Now he says, that's how it's going to be later. But now while it's blue skies, now while you're strong, now while you've got pleasure and you can enjoy sunbathing if you like, while you can dig and work and do all the things you want to do, remember now thy Creator before the evil days come. Now, from verse 3 we have this wonderful description. What's going to happen to us when we get old? If it isn't one thing, it'll be the other. But if we're growing old, can you picture this? If we're growing old and we do not know the Lord Jesus, if we're growing old and it hurts, but with no hope for the future, we're just winding down. All our best days are over, and now we've got no hope for eternity, we've got no hope for the future, we haven't believed in Jesus, we're getting weaker and we're getting worse, and that is going to be it until the judgment of condemnation. It's an appalling prospect. And this is why the Holy Spirit, in this glorious picture language, rams it home. It says, remember thy Creator before the evil days come, the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble. Now, he's talking about our bodies, okay, as we get old. Before the keepers of the house shall tremble. This. Hands, keepers of the house, they do the work, they earn the money, they get you the things, you see. Do be sure you love the Lord Jesus Christ and you've done all your work to please him all the days of your life before you get, you can't do anything. Okay? Before the keepers of the house shall tremble and the strong men shall bow themselves. Legs, support your body, they're strong. But then the hips go, and the knees go, and you can get bow-legged, or you limp. Says, and that, you see, before those sort of days come, and they actually chip away at the pleasure you get in life, but you haven't remembered your Creator in the days of your youth, you've given yourselves over to pleasure, God is bringing you into judgment for it, the curse of the earth if you're getting older is applying, your hands are going, your knees are going. In the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble, and the strong men shall bow themselves, and the grinders cease because they are few. You all love the dentist, of course. But in the days before the dentist did anything very much, people's teeth fell out. And they couldn't grind their food, because their teeth had all gone rotten and fallen out. And they longed for their teeth to fall out, because they were so painful till they did. But once their teeth had fallen out, they couldn't bite their food. They could only either swallow it and get really bad indigestion, or else they could only liquidize it. So it was pretty moldy to have no teeth and not to be able to eat properly and to enjoy your digestion. In the days when the keepers of the house shall tremble, the strong men shall bow themselves, and the grinders, the teeth, cease because they're few. The two you've got left can't do much good, can't get hold of an apple, can't do all sorts of things. And those that look out of the windows be darkened, can't see anything. Your eyes are limited, you're short-sighted, or you're long-sighted, or it's all come down dark and misty and you can't see. The older you get, maybe your eyes go. So you can't do anything that involves eye coordination or driving or all sorts of things. But you have lived and you've given yourself to the pleasures that involve driving. I should have mentioned it, I suppose, about legs, but we had a next door neighbour who gave herself entirely over to dancing. She loved dancing from a teenager, and suddenly she got a disease when she was about 50-something, and she couldn't dance anymore. And life for her without dancing was just no life. And she sat and she just crumbled away because she wasn't allowed to dance. Well, it doesn't matter what we value doing. If we do it without the Lord Jesus Christ, we do it without being dedicated to Him, we do it without seeking His help and His guidance, then we will come to this, but have no hope, have no future, have nothing to look forward to. It's all downhill. So, those that look out of the windows be darkened, you can't see very well. And the doors shall be shut in the streets. Maybe you remember the Psalms, "Keep thou the doors of my lips." And it follows grinders a little bit. It has to do with grinders. The doors shall be shut in the streets when the sound of the grinding is low. You can't really pronounce your words because you haven't got any teeth. And you don't want to seem a bit of an idiot talking without teeth. So you don't say anything to anybody when you get outside. You try and avoid them. You try and miss them. You don't want to talk. See, that's the picture. The doors of your lips shall be shut in the streets when the sound of the grinding is low. Not got any teeth. You can't grind. You can't eat very well. And you're all mousy. And you're ashamed of yourself and how your face shape is going. So you won't stop and talk to anybody in the streets. Get the picture? The misery of growing old without Christ. Now, we grow old. These things happen to Christians. These happen to believers. But we all know we're going to be changed in the twinkling of an eye. We all know that we're going to glory and our bodies shall be transformed and we'll be like Him. Only believers know that. And He shall rise up at the voice of the bird. Can't sleep. Cock-a-doodle-doo at 3 o'clock in the morning and you're awake. Can't sleep. And He shall rise up at the voice of the bird, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low. Can't stand the noise, can't stand the movement, can't bear to think of any sort of music, no music, classical, jazz or anything will give any pleasure whatever. And when they shall be afraid of that which is high. Don't like heights anymore. You didn't mind heights when you were younger, perhaps, but now you don't like the idea of heights at all. You lose your balance. You have poor blood pressure, and therefore you get dizzy. The movement, the minute you stand up, let alone go anywhere, or when you look down to go downstairs, the whole thing seems very dizzy. When fear shall be in the way. I can't go out when it's snowy, I might slip. I can't go out when it's frosty, I might slip. I can't go out because I can't see properly and I might trip. If I trip, I break my leg and I'll be in hospital and that'll be the end of me, because breaking my legs at my age, that's death. You get the picture of what's being talked about here, you see. And the almond tree shall flourish. The only thing that's flourishing is you've got a good mop of grey hair. Just like an almond tree has in its blossom. And the grasshopper shall be a burden. Oh, can you imagine? Everything's hard, everything's a burden, and anything even as light as a grasshopper is just too much to stand. What a picture. Desire shall fail. No more physical desire for people of the opposite sex. No more desire to do any of the things that you desired when you were younger. No reason for living, no purpose, no aim, no nothing. Why? Because man goeth to his long home. All these things are precursors preparing us for death, the long home. Death and hell. An eternity lost. An eternity far worse than the life that we've now had. The mourners go about the streets, as the picture here really suggests, that if you could see your own funeral. It's a bit like seeing the carrion birds descend on the prey. here's the picture, here's this man, and he's almost finished, and he just knows that the mourners are going to come for him soon. And then this wonderful verse in verse 6. Or ever, it's beautifully put, or ever the silver cord be loosed. The tongue, the speech is called silver, and the silver cord is the tongue of speech. Or the golden bowl be broken, the brain cease to work, that most precious and golden thing. Or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, the heart ceases to work at the fountain of life. Or the wheel broken at the cistern. Well, the cistern is not quite like a fountain. It needs to be pumped. The pumping of the blood ceases. And so the speech and the brain and the heart and the blood supply all cease. And the dust returns to the earth as it was. And the spirit returns to God who gave it. But this is an appalling picture given by the Spirit of what happens to people when they grow old. And if they grow old without Christ to be with them, without the Lord Jesus to comfort them, without the Lord Jesus to save them, without the Lord Jesus to be there for them in glory so that after death they shall see him and be like him, what a terrible thing it is. Now, before all these things happen, before all these things happen, the scripture says, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Remember him. Now, in remembering and considering him, we think about why has he made us? What does he want us to achieve? Why are we here? Where are we going? What sort of a God is he? How did he create the world? How does he sustain it? And therefore, what does he want from me? But the scripture simply says, remember him, think about him. Think about God and what he made this wonderful brain for, this wonderful heart for, our wonderful bodies for. What are they to be used for? What does he want of us? Particularly remember him as the creator and as the sustainer, the supplier, the person who guides through life. But that in itself will not save you. It would make you, as we heard this morning, a God-fearer, but it wouldn't make you saved. It wouldn't bring you to heaven, because it's only the Lord Jesus Christ and our devotion to him that saves. It's good to believe in God, but we can still go our own way. We can still do our own things. We can still carry on as if it were in the old Adam. But it's only when we turn to the Lord Jesus Christ that we'll be saved. And hence my other verse, Proverbs 23, verse 26, where the Lord Jesus says to us, my son, give me thine heart. It's one thing to remember God. It's another thing to give the Lord Jesus our heart. Now, you would understand what is being said to you if somebody looked at your homework and the teacher said to you, your heart's not in that. Now, you would know what was meant. You had no interest in the subject. You had no care about the subject. You just dashed off a bit of meaningless homework. And the teacher was quite right to say, and you would understand what the teacher meant. He said, your heart wasn't in it. It's only if your interest and your emotions and your affections were captured that you would do a really startlingly good piece of work. We do not achieve without our hearts, our affections, our interest being kindled in anything. And so the Lord Jesus says to us, my son, obviously said to, while we're young, although I suppose we're still sons when we're 70, but there we are. My son, give me your heart. What will help you most is your love towards me in response to my love for you. I have loved you. I have given myself for you. I have died so that those terrible things you were reading about, when and if they begin to happen to you, but you will know that you've got another life coming. You will know that you will meet God. You will know that you have the forgiveness of sins. You will know that you are going to live forever with him. My son, give me your heart. The Bible says that we love God, if we do love him, because he first loved us. God is greater than our hearts, and therefore we can't persuade God to love us. It's because we discover that the Lord Jesus has died for people, and we believe he died for me, that we realize that our sins may be forgiven, and that we may be transformed, and that we may be acceptable to the Father who loves everything to be perfect. But we're not like that. But the Lord Jesus has made that atonement. Now, for that, I speak for myself, and I know I speak for every believer. We are so grateful that we do anything for the Lord Jesus. We serve him with every ounce. To know that my sins are forgiven. To know that I'm acceptable to God and that he loves me. To know that he will have me perfectly changed and complete in heaven forever and ever. This is something that outweighs all the good things of the world. Add them all up, put them all together, but it outweighs the lot. I know it. And I love the Saviour for bothering with me to do these things for me, even to the death of the cross, but to make a perfect atonement of my sin, to make me fit to be accompanied into the presence of the Father, to want me so much that I shall be in heaven with him forever. So I have a great affection. My heart is drawn out to such a Saviour as the Lord Jesus Christ is. My son, he says, give me thine heart. Give me thine heart and let thine eyes observe my ways. If give me your heart means, of course, that you love me. But if you love me, keep my commandments. Love means obedience. How do you show that you love your parents? You show you love your parents by doing as they say, provided they're reasonable. But yes, you show love by being affectionate. And you show affection by obeying. That is how it's done. There is no other way of doing it. And you notice that children who are not obedient and yet want love, they sort of go up to their parents and they want to cuddle and they want to hug, and yet that you can see that they're aware that what they're getting is not what they really would like, because parents are displeased with them. They're not going to reject them, but neither is there that close harmony, that close working, that mutual love. And so the Lord Jesus says, give me your heart because I died for you. Love me with all your heart. Serve me with all your heart. But make it your life's work to understand why I've come, what I did, what I require, what you're to do in the preaching of the gospel, in the telling other people about me, in the living the sort of life that I teach in the Bible and that's been taught from the very beginning. And so, we have before us that we can carry on as we're born, and we can go through life, and we can learn, and we can get a job or not have a job, and we can do all the things that we feel that we've got the strength to do. And the Bible says, but the Lord will bring us into judgment for all these things. Unless our sins are forgiven by the Lord Jesus, and unless out of love for and value for being put right unless we give him our heart and serve him with all our heart, then we shall die and our dust shall return to the dust. And though our spirit returns to God who gave it, it will not be for heaven, but it will be for eternal damnation. While you're young, preferably. Not limited to younger people. If people have got a long way down the road and these things have not yet happened, no time should be wasted. But the best time is the time when we're young. Because even childhood and youth are vanity. And the sooner we're brought out of it, and the sooner we give our lives to the Lord Jesus Christ in recognition of what he's done, the better it will be for us. May the Lord bless us with understanding. Amen.